I ask a question, and we can ponder as we go through the message of what is our mindset? You know, we're told in the model prayer, over in Matthew and over in Luke and Matthew chapter 6, it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, Jesus Christ is going through, working with the disciples, going through the model prayer. And showing the disciples, trying to get them to understand that they need to have a different mindset than what they have. And then in Matthew, when it's talking about this, you know, we want to be focusing on the spiritual aspect that, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus Christ said that he was the living bread. When people came to seek after him, Jesus Christ says, you didn't come to seek after me because of the spiritual reasons. You're coming to seek me because of the physical miracles that I'm able to perform and that you're fed off from the physical food. And he's saying, don't seek that. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And in Luke, it actually really boils it down. And it says in the model prayer over there, it says in Luke, day by day, give us this daily bread. And it's not, you know, give us this day our daily bread. In Matthew, it's talking about this very day. And it's, you know, Luke is just pinpointing it down into two 12-hour time periods. You know, they're all three different Greek words. And it's, you know, so it, like it says over in Psalms, where David says it's his delight is, talking about an individual, that the person's delight is in the law of the Lord and in his law, and he meditates on it day and night. So it's like a 24-hour time period, you know, that God is on our mind. We wake up at night, you know, our thoughts should be focused on him. It's a mindset of living his way of life, of overcoming, you know, the mindset that we came out of. Today, I want to look at putting on the mind of Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, and we are told to follow him and all that he asks us to do. And he doesn't just ask us to do it, he lived it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 just says that we cannot serve two masters, that we'll either love one or the other. And we know that society, that, and we were in society too, and maybe sometimes we still fall into society, but we're told not to serve, to have a certain mindset that we are seeking things for the self, that our focus is on power, our focus is on money, our focus is on these treasures, these physical things. Jesus Christ is saying, let's get the focus off of that. Let's have a different mindset. You know, there's nothing wrong with earning a living. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:10 says, if you don't work, you don't eat. But it's not about serving money. It's not about serving power. We see when people are serving material possessions and they don't have God in their lives, it gets out of control. It's just a different type of mindset that God says, I do not want you to have. And that's what the world has. And we come to the realization, we see it in the big picture of what people are doing to other people, but it falls all the way down to everyone else. I see individuals say, if I was there, and I wouldn't be doing that, and what they're doing, and taking advantage of this, and they're doing this, they're doing that. They're doing the same thing in their own lives. They just don't see it. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And our master is God and his son. And we humble ourselves and seek them through faith. It means we follow them, we trust in them, we do whatever they say. That's what we're called to do, to have this type of mindset, to come out of the world. And Jesus Christ set us that example of having this type of mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. So here we're being told that have this same mindset. This was the same mindset that Jesus Christ have, and we are to have it. In verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So here he was. Here's God who came to be in the flesh. Now, he had everything. The mindset wasn't about himself, about continuing to have that power to get more. It was about to give of himself, to help others. And verse 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So he truly set an example of having everything and humbled himself. That's not easy to do. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the tree. All the way to death. He was willing to die. He had a certain mindset where he humbled himself. And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And because he done this, has done this, God has exalted him back into the heavens and will be King of Kings because he had a mindset of serving God and living his way of life. We can look over in John chapter 13. We can see that Jesus Christ, you know, he set many examples of humility, of surrendering himself and living God's way of life. He did it through his whole life. He did it without sin. He never sinned. And it all starts with him teaching us where it starts to have this mindset. Now, we can be in the church. We can be have different positions, different things that we're in charge of. But if we don't have humility, it's nothing. Jesus Christ sets us that example in John during the foot washing ceremony. John chapter 13 says, you know, in verse 12 says, after he washed their feet and had taken their garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, do you know what I have done unto you? Here it is, and we know that through this process, Peter didn't want to have his feet washed by his teacher, his master. And, you know, they didn't understand what Jesus Christ was doing. And it was something that he couldn't just tell them, hey, you go and wash each other's feet. No, he had to display it. He lived it. He showed them. So it sunk in. It was like startling. He's trying to show them to change their mindset, to have a different attitude, an attitude of humility. He says, do you understand what I've taught you, what I've just done unto you? He says, verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and for you say well, for so I am. And here he is. It's like in society, when someone was Lord and Master, they ruled over the people. They were in charge. And we can see that in society today, what these rulers, they don't want to let go of their positions. They'll even kill to keep it. And Jesus Christ is saying, that is not the right mindset. And he's displaying this through an attitude of humility, that this is where it starts. In verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So again, here he's setting an example of humility, of serving others. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So we understand that Jesus Christ understood that his Father was greater than he, and his Father, this was his Father's will, this is his Father's desire, and this is what is going to be done. And verse 17 says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He is reminding us to become this, to become this character trait. This mindset of humility is not of the world. It's not how business is done today. I know of businesses that are no longer in business because this trait is not displayed. I know people have started, you know, small businesses are have a lot to do with the economy, but there's so much going on where people do not humble themselves to serve other people as they themselves would like to be treated. I know eBay, you know, there's companies that start their business and that's how they function. That's how their business is through eBay. When we have a lot of dishonest people saying that they didn't get the product, and when they actually did get the product, therefore the money is refunded, you can't continue to stay in business. You know, this character trait of humility is not in the world around us. That's not how governments operate. And this is not the mindset that we are to have ourselves. We're told to come out of the world. Well, today I have 3 points to help us to grow in having the mind of Jesus Christ. First one is we need a humble frame of mind. That's where it starts. We need to have a different mindset. We need to have the mindset of humility, of humbling ourselves. And that's where our treasure should be. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So it's what we are seeking. It's who we are is how, what we're going to display. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whatever our mindset is, it's going to be displayed. And we're told to not to have an evil mindset, that we're supposed to be coming out of that. And those actions will flow from us, whatever our mindset is. So we can ask ourselves, what is important to us? We've been called. We've been given a gift. We've been given an understanding. So the question is, are we going to continue in it? Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. See what Paul is encouraging us. He's actually encouraging us to have this mindset. He says in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5, be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Meaning we'll follow in these same actions. He says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So Jesus Christ has gave of himself to serve others, even others who didn't care. They're willing to kill him, to hurt him. He still served them. He had this mindset of humility. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And as we heard in the opening prayer, we can see that things are changing. I know just in the last week, I know someone who's trying to sell a vehicle. And, you know, you can advertisement, one way the advertisement was being done was through the internet. And so people, you know, nationwide can see that this particular vehicle is for sale, you know. But there was five instances of people forwarding a false receipt of putting money in their PayPal account to get the vehicle. And we know that of society and what we're going through, and they just don't care. That's what they see. They see this is how life is. Being in South Africa, if you are of a certain nationality, it is your right to steal. It's your right to steal. The police won't do anything about it. It's your right. You don't have a job. It's okay for you to steal. And we see, it never used to be that way. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here we're being told, and Jesus Christ has set an example where it starts. It starts with a certain mindset of humbling ourselves, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in humility and submitting to one another. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1, or Romans chapter 12. Where Paul continues this theme. And it's not something that we can just hear and be able to put on and do. It's not that easy. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we are to be a sacrifice. And I think any of us that know giving of ourselves to help others, to take time out of our day, to take money out of our pocket, it's not something that is easily done. It is a service. It takes time. It takes effort to serve. It takes a certain mindset. Someone who's wanting to hang on to their possessions isn't going to have that type of mindset. To be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So this is what we've been called to do. To give of ourselves, to serve others. To serve and live and do what God asks us to do. And it comes from a mindset of humility. Verse 2, and not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. A different mindset. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So without humility, we're not going to be able to have the mindset. And if we don't have the mindset, we're not going to be able to understand God's purpose for us and for mankind. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of his faith. So we all get different measures of faith, but we're all called to grow and to overcome and to not think of ourselves as, okay, I've been called, I've made it, I'm okay, or we just coast along. I thought this verse 3 was, in the NLT, was hits it pretty good. Let me read it to you. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. God has opened our minds to help us to see right and wrong. He's given us understanding to help us to see also if we're doing it or not through the Holy Spirit. Second point. What is the fruit of humility? There's a lot of fruits through humility. Let's turn over to Galatians. I think most of us know this scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, talks about that when we humble ourselves, we have a different mindset. It's about doing something. And the verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness. We don't see that. We don't see society pushing this mindset. We don't see this society pushing humility. We look at society as if you humble yourselves and you submit to that person and you give in, you're weak. But here, through humility, that mindset, through the Holy Spirit, there's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against such, there is no law. There's no other way. There is no other way. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They've changed their mindset. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we've been called to this mindset, and we must live to this mindset, which starts with humility. What kind of person gets God's attention? God tells us over in Isaiah what gets his attention. Isaiah chapter 66. I mean, I'm talking about from the good standpoint, some of that God is very pleased with. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, my hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord God, has spoken. So everything that he's created, everything that is here, it's his. And what does he want? What does he want? Something that he himself is. It says, I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart, who tremble at my word. He wants us to have a smitten type attitude, an attitude that I want to be atoned. I do not like who I am. I want to become more like you. I want this mindset. I want to seek humility. So that's what he's looking for. That's what Jesus Christ came and did. And what did he do? The result was he raised him up to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what God wants of us. I think we all know that. I think sometimes we're just so busy and things happen, we just get, our focus isn't right. And the point that I just want to bring out today is that, to grow in God's ways is we just need to humble ourselves. And we can't, unless we do that, we won't have the mindset that God wants us to have. Humility shows us that we take on the mind of Christ. And we can't do anything. We can't do anything unless we humble ourselves. We can't do anything that's pleasing to God unless we humble ourselves. Paul tells us to examine ourselves, whether to see if we're in the faith or not. I mean, that is powerful. Right now we can recognize and see. We should be able to say, am I growing in humility? I mean, that's powerful to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not. It starts with humbling ourselves. It starts with having that relationship with God and with others. I want to read Micah chapter 6, 8 on the same topic. It says, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So that's encouraging. That's encouraging. And when we have this mindset and when we are implementing humility There's beautiful attitudes that God gives us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Let's go through them. This is something that we are to be. This is something that we are to become. This is something we are to be living. This is the attitude that we need to be having. And God says, you know, if you can just do this, continue in my path, you're going to be my son, you're going to be my daughter, and I have great things in store. And verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who have the type of spirit that it's not about me, you know, it's, I want to become like you. I want to live your way of life. It's down in the dust. It's without your strength, I can do nothing. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a type of mourning that we don't like our nature. We're thankful to know God and who he is, and we're just so happy that he's opened our minds to help us to see who we really are. And then we are sorrowful for our nature and want to come onto that. And God says, that type of attitude, he says, I will comfort you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are the ones who are teachable. We can be taught. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, to be a peacemaker, it takes humility. If we have the right frame of mind, we recognize and see that we don't have to win. We don't have to have maybe what is right. We can step back and give something up. We can make peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For standing up for what is right, for standing up for having this frame of mind of humbling ourselves, of seeking peace, and, you know, we'll be looked at differently from the world. We'll be persecuted for standing up for these beliefs. I mean, someone gave some money to my son, and they were surprised that he gave me the money. And it was some cash. They said, he really gave that to you? This is someone in the world. He really gave that to you? I said, to me, it didn't even cross my mind that he wouldn't have. But it's, you think about people in society, what their mindsets are. And he wanted to sell me something. And he says, I'm selling it to you for the same price I paid for it. And I just heard him on the phone and what he paid for it, and it wasn't the same price. But their mindset is, hey, I'm here to help you. But we stand up for truth. We stand up for righteousness. When people see that, they just cannot understand it. And they let us know. You're not going to get ahead in this world. You know, someone's taking it. Our government takes advantage of us. They take advantage of us. We got to do the same. You know, I was in the store the other day, and this, you know, asked this individual how he was doing and, you know, how business was. And he said it was slow, and he was just really upset that people aren't loyal. They don't come back and continue doing business with him, that it's all pinch and pennies. If it's just a couple of pennies off, they won't come back and do business with him. But I did a transaction with him, and he charged me more than he really should have. I always just come to this place because he was a lot lower. But in society, as things are getting tighter, things are getting pinched, he doesn't want to get on the internet, do any internet business. He has to raise his prices. But he thinks that we all have to accept that. And if we don't, you know, he's really upset. He's upset at the world. He's upset at all the other businesses that he does businesses with, because they're all trying to take advantage of him. And he sees that, but he doesn't see what he's doing to his customers and why he's also losing business. And I wasn't about to talk to him and make some pointers, because it wouldn't have worked. He was so so convicted that he was right and everyone else was wrong. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 7. We can ask ourselves, you know, how close are we to God as we go through this storyline? And do we really want to see our sins? Are we really sorry when God shows us our sins that I don't want to do that anymore? Luke 7, we'll start in verse 36. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus Christ to eat with him. And he went to so Jesus Christ went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet and behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. So now when the Pharisee who had invited him in saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, so he said this internally. This is what his thoughts were. He says, if this man, talking about Jesus Christ, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So here's an individual who invited Jesus Christ to his house, not because he wanted to grow, but so we could have maybe bragging rights. I had Jesus Christ at my house. And Jesus Christ is saying, hey, listen. And after he thought these thoughts, he says to Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he says, teacher, say it. All right. So again, he's not living to who he truly is. His mindset is not about humbling himself. His mindset is still in the world. Says, there was a certain creditor who had debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. So here's two individuals. They both were in debt and they both owed people money. One owed a tremendous amount of money, while the other one still owed money, but it wasn't as much. So he says, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. So this individual forgave both these individuals' debts. So he says to Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Which one of these individuals will love this individual who forgave both their debts? And Simon answered and said, well, I suppose the one who gave, whom he forgave more. So the one who had the greater debt was forgiven that. Simon says, well, he'd probably be able to forgive more. And Jesus Christ says, well, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman, and he was still talking to Simon. He says, do you see this woman? He says, I've entered your house. So he's going to use this same analogy to the situation. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So it's about responding when God calls us and shows us our sins. This man, Simon, I'm not a sinner. He invited Christ to his house, but he wasn't having the mindset of humbling himself so he could learn. This woman humbled herself, knew she was a sinner, and was thankful that she had a Savior. She had a mindset of humility, and where then her sins could be forgiven and she could grow. And it's how we treat others is how God's going to treat us. It all starts with humility and having the right mindset. And humility, can we be corrected and can we be taught? That's the question with humility. Last point, third point, why is it so important to have this mindset? And I pretty much answered that already, but Jesus Christ tells us we need to have this mindset. And if we believe in God and trust in God and we've accepted his calling, we're going to do whatever he says. Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek, I am humble, and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Isn't that the type of God we want? He wants us to be the same way. We're told to be childlike in Matthew chapter 18. We're to be teachable, easy to accept correction. We're supposed to have a willing, teachable heart. That's what God wants us to have. We can ask ourselves, how do I serve? Do we serve in humility with that proper mindset? Are we approachable? Do we listen? Do we lead by example instead of just, hey, go do this, or go do that? Do we lead by example? The question is, if we do, then we're able to teach. We're able to learn from God and we're able to teach. Now, just like I said, Jesus Christ didn't just tell them to wash each other's feet. He displayed it. He lived it. He did humble himself. He was that character trait. You know, James chapter 2, you can just note this down, talks about what type of faith we have. We have faith. We know that God exists. But James chapter 2, verses 14 through 13 is talking about, here's someone who's destitute, who needs food, water. And if we believe in God, we have faith. He says, well, if we just tell him, oh, that's okay. Just be filled and be warmed. That's okay. Well, that's not the faith we're supposed to have. Our faith is through our works, through our Lord and Jesus Christ. We set out and we help. And we do help people in situations that need help. We care. We're not just easily to brush it off. It should be on our mind. It should be in our mind that we don't even do enough. You know, there were, as Peter talks over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, that he has to tell certain Jews that you're not the only ones that are being called. These Jews thought they were the ones. They were the elite. They were on top. And everyone else was at the bottom. We are the called out ones. And Peter's saying, God doesn't play favorites. Doesn't play favorites by what you look like, what nationality you are. It's by who fears to disobey and display righteousness. That's what God looks at. That's what we read in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. That's the type of attitude that he can work with. That's the type of attitude that we need to be. And Peter tells us to be humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. He says, yes, all you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Have this mindset. He says, for God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So in conclusion, it all comes down to, will we submit to God and will we submit to each other in the practical sense, in the right ways? Matthew 6:14 says, forgive so we can be forgiven. That displays a mindset of humility. The same example that Jesus Christ had. We're also told to be as little children as in Matthew 18. And John 13:10 says we're supposed to be without spot, without wrinkle, meaning that when we do sin, we want to change. So when we begin to humble ourselves, that's when we begin to grow. Are we seeking to add to our understanding? That's something that we can ask ourselves. If so, let's be active in humility. That way, we can grow and have God's frame of mind.